If you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 this morning. We are on this journey to figure out how it is that we can be okay in this life, because this world can knock us over, right? Can knock us over, get us on our knees, and how can we in this life have sustaining peace and sustaining joy and strength and assurance and confidence And there's different ways that we've discovered that so far, all pointing to the person of Christ that we rely upon. But we sometimes struggle to have that peace. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that it is hard for us to get ourselves to do the right thing at times. Have you ever noticed that? It's hard to choose. Some of you might be going somewhere for watching the Super Bowl, and it'll be hard to choose to eat the right things in that moment, huh? If there's stuff in front of us, it's hard to make the right choices. We have to almost trick ourselves at times to make the right choices. Like if we are going to try to eat healthy, and maybe we would think of a salad as something to eat in order to eat in a healthy way. And so we have to trick ourselves to eat it because we don't really want to eat the lettuce or the vegetables in it. We want some flavor to it. And so we get some salad dressing, right? Salad dressing that has high fructose corn syrup in it, or sugar, or a lot of fat inside of it, or butter in it, and we cover it. Some of us make our salad swim. Anybody a salad swimmer? You make your salad swim with dressing? We just got to get a bunch of dressing on that thing so we can manage to eat that salad. We might also take a lot of cheese and douse a bunch of cheese on there. Anybody seen that commercial where the waiter was asking how much do you want, wouldn't tell me when to stop, and it like piles up a whole thing on top of them. So we just load it with cheese. If that's not enough to get us going, we have to find some fatty meats to put on there, you know, some ham or some salami or some bacon, put some bacon bits in there to get us to eat that food. And if that doesn't work, here in Pittsburgh, one of the things we like to do is take a big handful of fries, shove that on top of that salad. That'll take care of that. And then before we know it, we got the salad down. But I don't know if we're any better after eating that salad, are we? We have to trick ourselves to get ourselves to do the right thing. It also makes me think we invited a guest here via video clip. This is Jim Gaffigan telling us how we do the same thing with granola bars. So watch that if you will.
It's corrupted anyway. You know, like the granola bar, that's been completely corrupted. Because you know, initially some guy was like, hey, kids are eating candy bars, right? All we got to do is shape granola like a candy bar. Kids will eat the granola. And then like a week later, Bill, kids are not eating these granola bars. What? All you got to do is put chocolate chips in the granola bar. Kids will eat the granola. Bill, kids are picking the chocolate chips out of the granola bar. What? Hey, all you got to do is cover it in chocolate. Get rid of the freaking granola. I get to tell you, I do everything. He's going to be sued by Kudos.
So we do. We have to trick ourselves to do the right thing, don't we? And is it just food that we have to play a trick on ourselves to get ourselves to do the right thing? We have to do it with exercise. We have to do it with our money. We have to trick ourselves to do the right thing. And why is it? What is it about us that requires trickery to get ourselves to do the right thing? And some of it is because we just want a solution now, right? We want immediate gratification, immediate resolution now. And that's why at times we turn to things that we know are destructive. Food is not the worst of it. If we turn to things like cigarettes, and we get addicted to cigarettes, even though we know that those cigarettes are going to kill us at some point down the road, but we just want the peace and the ridding of stress that that does for us in that moment. Or some people turn to alcohol and other things, and we know, and you've seen people who smoke while they have lung cancer, will smoke through a trach. Because why? Because I want immediate gratification now, and we are destroying ourselves in many ways, and we do the same thing spiritually. When it comes to our faith, we want immediate gratification. I want to feel the power of God right now when I ask Him. I don't care if I haven't been praying much lately. I don't care if I've not been studying His Word or in Christian fellowship. I want the power of God right now in my life because we want immediate gratification. We want to be able to call upon wisdom in a moment without giving ourselves depth at all inside the Word of God, without getting involved in the church and doing those things. We want immediate gratification. But we know that immediate gratification that's lasting, it doesn't come to us that way, does it? Anybody ever win the lottery? I'm sure that happens for some people, but that's a small percentage of people. And we run into retirement, and we run into bills coming, and we're stressed because we didn't choose to budget, save, not spend, hold back, work harder. We didn't choose. Many of us have, we look in the mirror, and we're not happy with the way our body looks. And we didn't sacrifice, and we know that that's the way we get there, right? Move our bodies, get going. We're not happy with our relationships, but we know that we just don't land on people or infatuated with us and love us. We don't land on that. It takes work to have relationships. And it's the same way with our faith. Is there a depth in your faith with the Lord? Is God displaying His power in your life? And all of us struggle. I struggle at times. I forget at times to be in His presence consistently and to do those right things and struggle with things that I don't share with you guys as far as things I've gone through in the past, things that I've dealt with my family and other things that I've got going on. And sometimes our emotions and our experiences in our past can yank us all over the place. And yet God wants to call us to have His peace, His joy, and His satisfaction. He wants us to be like He was. Remember when the disciples were with Jesus on the boat and there was that horrible storm that came through? And do you remember what Jesus was doing in the middle of that storm? He was asleep, soundly at peace in the midst of a storm. Or remember when Peter was arrested and thrown in a dungeon and God sent an angel to rescue him? The angel had to do something to get him out of the prison. He had to do what to him? Anybody remember? Yeah, he had to wake him up because he was sound asleep. Because in a dungeon, in the midst of a storm, people who know Jesus can have absolute peace. But it doesn't come just by us just saying it should be there. It comes by the depth of a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Don't you want to know that peace in your life? That fulfillment? That power? Well, then it comes in that relationship with Christ. And Paul in Philippians 3 is going to guide us through how to have that kind of relationship with Him. Look with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. There that is again. He's saying this joy thing consistently throughout his letter, isn't he? Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. All our impulses and our reactive ways that we behave, we can actually utilize those things to drive us towards Christ. We can take our impulses and our short-sightedness and use that to drive us towards Christ if we understand what it is we need in our lives. What is it that we need? Well, first, did you notice he said in verse 1, to write the same things to you is no trouble to me and it is safe for you? He is okay with repeating himself. Anybody feel like you have to repeat yourself? Okay. Anybody say something to a spouse and you have to repeat it 30 minutes later? Repeat ourselves. And sometimes we get bored and annoyed with, I heard this already. Why are you telling me the same thing again? And sometimes we need to hear the same thing over again because we heard it. We heard the words, but it didn't sink in. We didn't quite grasp it. We didn't quite become aware of it. We need to be reminded consistently of certain realities, certain truths. And it's in reminding of these things, did you notice what he said? It's the reminding that keeps us safe. Safe from what? He said, beware of the dogs. Did you see that? Now, this isn't the dogs that the song sings about, who let the dogs out. I'm not talking about those dogs. No, these are the dogs of the circumcision group. Or notice it said, those who mutilate the flesh. These were the people that were insisting that, no, you have to get circumcised in order to be right with Christ. That's what has to happen. And they were redefining what salvation means. And did you know that all around us, people are redefining what it means to be saved, transforming the definition of it and making it mean something that it doesn't mean? And how do we prevent ourselves? Because what if we are? Because did you know there's a false Christianity? There's a false Jesus. There's a false religion. There's a false faith. There's a false church. And any one of us can fall prey of being deceived by it unless we know what salvation. And that's why he says in verse 3, for we are the circumcision. And why are we that? Because we are the ones who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. And so he says, we need to be reminded of things. And we need to become aware of what true salvation is. And how do I know what true salvation is? Do I ask Dwayne? Yes, through the Word of God. I guess I do ask Dwayne. I look through the Scriptures consistently to ask, what does God say? What has He revealed to me about what it looks like to be right with Jesus? And then I need to remind myself of it constantly. That the way I know God's will is it's been revealed in the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is God's authoritative Word. And I must know it. I must study it. I must understand it. And I must walk in it. And there is no other way to the Father, no other way for salvation but through the person of Jesus Christ. There is one God and He exists in God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and yet there is one God and I must put my trust in Him. I am sinful, I am flawed, and I need help. Anybody realize that? And we need to remind ourselves of this. I am flawed, I need help, I can't trust my judgment, I can't trust other people's judgment. I need the intervention of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God. I need that, and anytime I need Him, He will never leave me nor forsake me. He is always there for me, and He is always going to empower me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And we have to be able to remind ourselves consistently of this. And when we get anxious, when we lose peace, when we get frightened, when we get weakened, when we get discouraged, it's because we don't remember the truth that I have no reason to fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me, right? He has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so I must remind myself of these things. And we can misunderstand the Scripture at times too. And so we need to spend time in His Word and prayer, but we also need to make sure we're in Christian fellowship, not because other people are telling us how to see the Bible, but because we're listening to what other people are saying to check ourselves to see, am I seeing this correctly? And why do we do that? Because I'm not trustworthy, right? And I don't mean only me, by the way. We are not trustworthy. And so we put ourselves into Christian fellowship and we listen to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, even if we've heard it before. Because if we've been going to church for decades, I bet most sermons, we've heard that before, right? Some of the things I was saying, you guys started saying before I finished it, because we've heard it before. But Paul says that I repeat myself because this is safe for you. We must keep reminding ourselves of what... And when you're in your darkest moments and when you're struggling and there's no one else there with you, we need to decide in those moments to remind ourselves of what is actually true. I feel like God's not here, but I know He must be. I feel like I should be afraid for my life, but I know I don't need to be because I can trust in Him. I feel like I shouldn't have to go to church. I don't need to get involved. I don't need to spend praying and being in God's Word. I feel like I can give into this temptation, but I need to remind myself, no, God calls me to a holy lifestyle, to be dedicated unto Him and to sacrifice, and I must live this way even if nobody else around me is living that way. It is a lot easier to be faithful to the Lord when everybody else around us is being faithful to the Lord. But we don't live in a society like that. And so I need to remind myself of key things. Secondly, verse 9, jumping around a little bit, and be found in Him not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. I need to know that I need Jesus in order for me to make it through this day, in order for me to handle that conversation that's coming in the future, in order for me to face my health issues and my financial issues and to face this world and to serve the Lord and overcome temptation, in order for me to do the things in my life, I need Jesus in order for me to be able to do those things. And why does He need to say that? Because He's not unaware that He has made it different places. Did you notice what He said in verse 4 and starting? He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has reason to be put confident in the flesh, I have more. And then He rattles off a list of qualifications. Did you notice that? So He's not saying, if I depend upon Jesus, I don't realize that I've advanced in different ways. That I am right now, I have a strong prayer life. I'm strong in the Word. I'm avoiding temptation. He's not saying we can't know, because otherwise, how is He able to just rattle all of these things off? And we might say, well, I think He was rattling off some bad things because He said in verse 6, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. Yeah, the persecuting of the church is a bad thing, but what He was saying was He was so zealous for faithfulness to God that when He thought there was a sect that was not faithful to God, He was willing to eradicate that because that's how passionate He was serving the Lord. He knew that He was in a good place in different ways. And yet in verse 7, He says this, after rattling off all those qualifications, but whatever gain I had, what was his gain? Any level of progress he has made in his faith to this point, he says, that was gain. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I count it in verse 8, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. You see what happens when we decide to get serious about following the Lord. Sometimes it's hard, various stages of that, but at some point things start to get moving. No? We start to be praying and we're experiencing the power of God and the love of God and the peace of God, and our life's starting to come together a little bit. And we start studying His Word, and we know certain things, and we know answers to things, and we realize things, and we understand stuff, and we're even able to teach those things to other people. And we're getting involved in things, and we're helping other people. And then before we know it, what we start doing is we start doing it all on our own. We start believing, I'm able to explain this stuff and teach this stuff, and I'm able to face these challenges, and so I'm going to rely upon me. And we might not ever stop and make a statement like that or declaration of that, but we know that when we're falling apart, what do? God, help me. Everything's falling apart. Please help me. I feel distance from you. Help me. And we pray a lot when things are falling apart. And then when everything's going great, got it, God. I'm good. I got it. And we detach ourselves from the one who is feeding that life into us and the reason why we landed where we landed. And then at some point, because it doesn't go away quickly, at some point everything starts falling apart again and we can't figure out why. And it's because, what did Jesus say? He is the vine, we are the branches. And how do we have strength? When we abide in him. And so I need to remind myself, when I feel stable, when I feel secure, when I feel like I've got it together, when I'm experiencing the blessings of peace and joy and fulfillment and confidence, I need to remind myself, but I only have it because I have Jesus. And I need to seek him right now in my mountaintop, because I know it won't always be like this. And I need Jesus in order for me to pray for this person. The simplest things. In order for me to pray for this person, in order for me to give this person a hug, in order for me to love on someone, to give someone wisdom, in order for me to make it through this thing right now, in order for me to be able to pray in the power of God, in order for me to be able to understand the Bible as I'm getting ready to read it, I need Jesus. If we don't realize how much we need him, there's a reason why that power went away, because we forgot and we relied upon ourselves. I need to know this, that I need Jesus. I also need to make comparison of values between other things and the Lord. In fact, that's what he was doing, right? He says, whatever gain I had, I count as loss. It's not just the gains, it's everything, right? Indeed, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so what is he doing? He's saying, I need to recognize that this other stuff that I have, when it comes to comparing it to the Lord, means nothing. Has no value. That's what Solomon was exploring in Ecclesiastes, wasn't he? When he kept saying meaningless, meaningless, or empty, empty. Because everything in our lives, without the Lord involved in it, or compared to what we have in the Lord, it's meaningless. And so our health, if we get the best physical health, it means nothing, because that'll go away eventually, and then we will die eventually. The money that we've acquired means nothing. The job that we're working, the job that we're so worried about and care so much about, ultimately at some point means nothing. Because that job might be providing an income for us now, but at some point it'll mean nothing. Even our relationships. And how could we say that our relationships mean nothing? That's not that they mean nothing entirely, but that person that we love so much, if they don't know Jesus Christ, then that we had a great relationship, but for all eternity we will be separated from them and it will mean nothing. And so I need, in order for me to value things correctly, I need to keep reminding, because listen, we spend a lot of time on things that mean absolutely nothing. And how many times do people end up on a deathbed when they know that they're dying and they have time to think about it, and they have all kinds of regrets? And what are they regretting? The things they didn't do. Because they spent so much time on things that at the end of the day didn't matter much. They didn't spend time on the things that mattered. And so the way we shift our passions is we keep reminding ourselves, do I need to take care of my body? Do I need to take care of my finances and my house? Yeah, I need to do some of that. But at the end of the day, these are just a means to the end, to an end. These are not the value of life. And it doesn't mean that those things don't have any value. In fact, that's why Jesus said in Luke's gospel, if anyone wants to follow me, he must hate his father or mother or brother or sister. And we think, how could he say that? That sounds contradictory. What he's saying is, compared to your love for me, it must look like hatred to them. Not that we're acting hateful towards them, not that we're actually hating them, but we need to realize that everything else around us, because listen, the people that you think you can count on, they won't always be there for you. They can't always be there for you. Either you'll survive them or they'll survive you, but they can't always be there for you. And they're fallen, and they will fail us at different times. We can't always trust them. And so we have to realize, not that we're taking value from them, but we have to realize their appropriate place, how much value that job actually has, this house actually has, this car, this relationship actually has. And then he says that I do that in light of the surpassing worth of knowing, in verse 8, of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have to start realizing how valuable Jesus is. Jesus is life itself. And so I have to remind myself what happens when I'm connected with him, what he has in store for me, who he is. He is the only one that we can come and speak transparently to and share with him anything and realize that we're not going to get condemned as long as we're coming repentantly. Who do we know that we can tell every wrong thought and every issue that we have going on in our lives and expect absolute acceptance every time? And yet at the same time, not coddling us to staying weak and broken, but leading us to our wholeness. He is the only one. Prayer is valuable. Absolutely valuable, life-changing if we know how to seek him. The Word of God should be treasured because of the valuable wisdom and guidance and insight and revelation that God has given us. Being involved in Christian fellowship is so important and so valuable. All the things, living a righteous life, so important. All the vital things of following the Lord we have to remind ourselves of. Is it because they don't have value? No, it's because we forget that they don't have value or that they have value. It's because we fail to see it. We don't pray because we don't think it has value. We don't come to church because we don't think it has value. We don't get involved in accountability. We don't spend time reading and studying his word because we don't think it has value. We don't live holy, righteous lives. We don't share our faith with others because we don't believe it's valuable. If we did, we'd be doing it. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so then I need to keep looking at myself and saying, what am I valuing? Hanging out on this thing until I pass out? What am I valuing? Making sure my house is immaculate? Making sure that my money is all arranged in the right place? And again, there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves, but I need to count all things as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have to make these comparisons to help myself see. And then lastly, I need to know the nature of my relationship with Jesus. We saw earlier, beware, watch out for the dogs, because there is a false faith. Jesus described the scene that some will come to him on the judgment day, and they'll be cast out. And they'll say, but Lord, Lord, didn't we? And they were confused, because they thought they were living the Christian faith, and they weren't. And so we want to make sure, do I have the right kind of relationship with Jesus Christ? Don't you want to know that? I want to know that. I don't want to die and realize that I wasn't in Christ. And so there is a need to understand this relationship with Christ, and this relationship with Christ, and this will sound wrong for a moment, but walk with me for a moment. This relationship with Christ is conditional. Paul says in verse 8, in order to gain Christ. He was doing different things in order that he would have Christ. Because as if it's a question mark, on we're not guaranteed that we will have Christ. Verse 10, that I may know him. Notice the words. In verse 11, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Is everybody going to be saved? Is everybody going to go to heaven? We know that's not true, which means this relationship with Christ, so far as it results in our salvation, is conditional. Is everybody going to be mature in their faith? Is every Christian, is every churchgoer experiencing the fullness of God's power and victory and joy and peace in their lives? No. And so this relationship with the Lord, as far as its outcomes are concerned, are conditional. And so I need to not treat it trivially. To just say, I'm just going to assume that I'm going to always have these things because I said a prayer a long time ago, a sinner's prayer, or because I listen to the songs, or because I attend church. No, I need to realize that this relationship, as far as what I'm getting from him, is conditional. In fact, Jesus even said that. We know that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever just doesn't need to do anything, right? They just receive God's life. It just happens and comes upon them. Isn't that what Jesus said? No. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, there must be a response on our part to receive everything that he has for us. It's conditional. And so if we truly want that peace, that fulfillment, that satisfaction, that life, then we need to respond to him. And how do we respond to him? You know what's interesting? All of that stuff that he was talking about achievement and false teachings out there and the blessings of the Lord and all of that stuff, in the center of it, what the heart of everything was in this was verse 10, that I may know him. And some of us, the reason why we don't have joy and peace, and I know it sounds backwards and it's difficult to fully grasp, but some of us, the reason why we don't have joy and peace and fulfillment and assurance is because we come to Jesus, yes, but we come to Jesus just because that's all we want. It's Jesus, I just want you to give me that peace. I just want you to give me that assurance. I just want to be confident. I just want to feel security. I just want to have joy. I just want to be healed. And we come to Jesus for those things and we don't actually want Jesus. And it's the weird thing because Jesus said, he who is trying to find his life will lose it. Which means if my pursuit, it's weird to grasp. If my pursuit is fulfillment and joy and peace, that's what I'm focused on, I won't find it. But if I decide, you know what, I'm okay if this doesn't come together right. I'm okay if I have a lot of problems that I have to deal with. I'm all right with that. I'm okay if I don't get healed. I'm okay if I have to deal with some emotional issues, relationship issues. I'm okay if I don't have the money. I'm okay with that. I just want Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. If I just have him. And the weird thing about it is it's when we get to that moment when I just want you, Lord. That's when all of a sudden the things that we did want to have with it start to show up. The joy, the peace, the fulfillment, the ability to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil and know that he is with us, the ability to do that. Why? Because I couldn't care less about my life. I just want Jesus. And all of us are going around trying to find peace and satisfaction and joy in this life. And yet we're not turning to the one who has it all. And deciding, I just give me Jesus. Yeah, there's all kinds of songs like that, aren't there? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I just need Jesus. But I need to realize, though, that this relationship with him, it includes pleasure and it includes struggle. It says in verse 9, the righteousness that comes from faith. That when I have faith in Jesus, there is this surge of ability. That's why I can say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's this surge of ability to be righteous, to overcome temptation, to be what God has called us to be. Or in verse 10, to know him in the power of his resurrection. Sometimes when we serve the Lord, he takes us on the highest mountaintops. We feel the glorious rush of watching the movement of his power in our lives. And it is absolutely amazing when we come into his presence. But sometimes we are to share in his sufferings, it says in verse 10. He is burdened, we are burdened. He carried a cross, we carry a cross. And we have to accept the sufferings and the struggle that comes with that. And notice it says in verse 11 that by any means possible, if it means I die, if it means I lose a loved one, lose my house, lose my job, lose my finances, lose my health, nobody else likes me, if I deal with all kinds of baggage, by any means possible, I want Jesus. And how many of us have had people in our lives that as long as we're treating them well, as long as we're happy, as long as we have something to hand out, as long as we're pleasant, as long as we're joyful and we're not struggling through anything, they want to be around us. But how many of them go running from us when we're struggling, when we're hurting, when we have nothing to give? And why is it that we treat Jesus that way? Why is it that we only want a relationship with him when it means pleasure, when it means peace, when it means fulfillment? And again, ironically, what happens is those people who just come to him for the peace end up never finding it. But those people who are willing to struggle and suffer and deal with a lack of peace at times just because they want Jesus and they serve him faithfully, it's those people that come to know peace. Would you stand with me, worship team? Will you come prepared to lead us? And as they're coming, how is your relationship with Jesus? How is your relationship with Jesus? How is your faith? I'm not asking whether or not you're saved. That may or may not be the case. I'm asking, how are you relating to Jesus? And so in this moment, as they prepare to lead us, we want to take a time to reflect upon, how is my relationship with Jesus today? Are you happy with the condition of your faith? Are you happy with the way it looks? And if you are, should you be happy with your relationship with Christ? Does your life demonstrate a person that's experiencing the power of God in their lives? Does your life show that? Are you making sure that you're in a place where you're reminded consistently of key factors? Are you in his word daily? Are you in his presence daily? Are you here every week, twice a week, anytime the doors are open, here in Christian fellowship? Are you pursuing accountability? Are you listening to teaching? Are you getting reminded of things? Should you be happy with your relationship with Christ? Do you realize how much you need Jesus in every given moment? Amazing how many people go to sleep at night and they never wake up. Aneurysm out of nowhere, perfect health. And we don't realize this mind of ours, these hearts of ours, these lungs of ours, this cardiovascular system of ours, the digestive system, every bit of it. For us to even exist, it depends upon him. And do you live as if you know that? That you realize you need Jesus even right now, whether you're on a mountaintop or in a low. Are you relying on yourself and on the flesh like the dogs were? Or are you relying upon Jesus Christ? Do you realize, are you valuing things correctly? Are there things in your life that you've elevated to be more important than they are, and they're robbing you? Stealing your joy, stealing your peace, stealing your relationship with Christ, because your job is more important. Your finances, your house, your health, your relationships, your hobbies have become more important than Jesus Christ. Are you avoiding the struggles? Avoiding the conflicts? I don't want to witness. I don't want to try to minister. I don't want to try to have those conversations with others because I don't want to struggle and deal with things. Again, the words of Jesus, anybody who would follow me must take up his cross daily and follow me. Do you realize, oh, how sad it is? We're surrounded by a world that could care less, not only about Jesus, but about anything really. Other people, virtue, well-being could care less. Now, are we like we saw last week? Are we more like them, more like the world? Do you realize how much you might be losing in this moment precious things from the Lord because you can't find 15 minutes a day to pray, 10 minutes to read a chapter of his word? And when you do, you just buzz through it so fast just to get it over with. And there is a precious Savior who died for us, who lived a sinless life, who conquered death. The grave could not hold him down. Do you realize how much you're losing? You need to come to Jesus this morning. As they lead us, you need to come down to these altars, and you need to say in an act of surrender, kneeling, standing, whatever that is, and say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me, Lord, for not being aware of that. Forgive me, Lord, for not living that out. I need you. Would you come and seek him this morning? Do you sense his presence with you right now? See, we try to avoid facing our weaknesses. But when I am weak, He is strong.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So this morning, those of you that came forward, that was an act of trust in Him. Lord, I'm admitting I'm weak and I need You. Every time we pray, it's an admission. I am weak, I need You. Every time we read His Word, every time we exercise self-control, hold ourselves back from the thing our impulse tells us to do, we're saying, I trust You, Lord, that though I think this thing might fulfill me, I trust You actually are my fulfillment. It's an act of trust. And He lavishes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on those who trust Him. And oh, we might walk through death. We might carry a cross. There is no person on this world more powerful than the person who's attached to Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I ask that You would help us, Lord, as we're surrounded by people that are flawed, hurting, and struggling, and at times that hurt spills over to us. And I ask that You would help us to be forgiving and gracious as You are, Lord, to be merciful, to forgive those around us when they fail us, and to remind ourselves that we're every bit as weak as they are. But help us, Lord, not to succumb to the anxiety that others around us might exhibit. Help us not to succumb to the strife and the bitterness and hatred, the fleshly behavior. Help us not to lose our joy in the midst of it. Oh, may we be able to minister to and show compassion to those that are in those places. But help us, Lord, to have absolute peace and joy and assurance and power in You. Because I can know You, Lord, in the power of Your resurrection. And so help me to know that. That even if I suffer, Lord, I share fellowship with You. So build our faith, Lord, as You have been doing. And when each of us leave this place and get into our cars and go to our homes and other places, may we remember You will never leave us nor forsake us. And You've called us, Lord, to a holy calling. Help us to live that out. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever feel like you want to quit on different things? And sometimes it's because we fail, right? Next week, we're going to see how God shows us how to keep going, even when things are falling apart, to keep going. You know, Jesus said the one who will be saved is the one who endures till the end. And so I hope you'll be with us for that. I love you guys. God bless you. Food in the back as always, but see you next week. God bless you.